So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day Roger first published his famous thesaurus.
Then on Tuesday, we say happy birthday, Mr. Potato Head.
On Wednesday, the extraordinary stories of the child soldiers who fought in the American Civil War.
On Thursday, how King James changed the word of God.
And on Friday, what did spam emails look like in 1978?
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before we start this week's show, in the off-season, producer Matt has been busy building another niche sports show that isn't really about the sport at all, yet strangely entertaining to listen to. It is called The Après, and it is all about winter sports. You know, like skiing and snowboarding.
What about bobsleigh? Luge? That thing where they do the sweeping?
Yep, frozen shot put.
The one where they ski and then shoot a gun?
Terrorism.
Hosted by friend of the podcast, Ollie Peart. It's very funny and has slightly higher production values than For F1's Sake. You can hear Olympic champions playing silly games and telling embarrassing stories like this.
Hi, I'm Daley Thompson. I shat myself once.
I was going to say, is it like when Chris Hoy shat himself once? So that's what...
that's where we both end up.
I hope the après just becomes... old Olympians shitting themselves.
Yeah.
Except for Paula Radcliffe, who never gets invited on. And she actually did shit herself.
I had this discussion a couple of days ago. Did she piss herself or did she shit herself?
She shat herself.
Yeah. She shat herself. Okay.
On national TV. Yeah. I bet they don't discuss this on the après.
Well, I'm looking forward to being invited on. And now to analyse Paula Radcliffe's shit, it's Terry Saunders.
That's the après. There's a link in the show notes. Download it now. Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the podcast that is to F1 what human rights and general decency is to F1.
I quite like the fact that a section of the new Jeddah circuit looks like boobs.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the new Herman Tilke track of F1 podcasts.
A lot of hype.
I thought we'd got rid of him.
Can't get rid of him. He's like COVID.
I'm G. Grez, and I've been refreshed and rebranded for 2021. But under the surface, I'm the same old midfield contender. I am here to bring you the definitive guide to the new Formula One season. But COVID has meant some hasty reorganising. So instead, here's a half-assed cobble together and slightly drunken ramble through what's hot, what's not, and what's sexually abusive in F1 this year. We'll be talking pre-season testing, liveries, and we discover what Terry made of the new series of Drive to Survive.
It's shit.
That is all to come. Joining me is a freelance motoring journalist who has the perfect accompaniment to the new series of Drive to Survive. It is Phil Tromans.
Hi, everyone. Happy 2021. It's nice to be back. Yeah, I've not seen all of the new series of Drive to Survive yet. But I have got what I think is the perfect accompaniment in the form of a toy that I bought for my baby daughter. It makes noises, and the noises are exactly what Formula One needs.
Drivers, drivers, I'm a
Phil, how's lockdown treating you?
Oh my god.
That was the equivalent of Tom Hanks painting a face on a basketball. It was
well, the beauty of this
you.
Is I didn't
what
have to paint
it. Again?
I didn't have to paint a face on it because he's already got one.
And alongside him is a man who isn't where you think he is, unless you know where he is. It is Terry Saunders.
The secret's out, everybody. I am no longer in London. I'm such a fan of Formula E that when they had six races in Berlin last year, I was like, that's where I've got to go. So I snuck myself in one of the cars, and now I live in Berlin.
Yeah, and you're Woo! Racing in Formula E this year, which is...
And I'm racing in Formula E this year, yes.
But nobody would have known that.
No, I tried to keep it very quiet.
Yeah.
So what's it Formula like? E.
What's it like in Berlin? It's very quiet. It's a bit lockdown-y.
Quite German.
Fairly German, yeah.
How's your German?
My German's getting better, which is...
Or besser.
Meine Deutsch ist besser than yours.
Right, quite a bit has happened since we last recorded, so let's wade through a bit of news and we will pepper some listener comments in. And just a reminder, you can add your voice to the debate by going over to our Facebook page. You can send us general abuse on Twitter. So first up, F1 is dead. Not the sport, but let's face it, it might as well be, because Murray Walker is no longer with us. He might have been retired for 20 years, but Murray was, and for many of us, always will be the voice of F1. He passed away at the age of 97, which is a pretty good innings, but still too soon if you ask me. Wes Paul Stopp says, "This is a day I've been anticipating for some time, but it doesn't make it any easier. His infectious enthusiasm made me love the sport even more growing up. He lived an amazing life where he fit in more than most of us could in 10. R.I.P. Muzza, there will never be another like you." And Ros Chaplin asks, "Best Murrayism, and is he not being a Sir Murray Walker, the biggest crime in sport?"
I think the biggest crime in sport was Oscar Pistorius killing his girlfriend. But that's
good. Okay, well, R.I.P. Murray.
I was just wondering, when is that going to come in this podcast? And it's earlier than I expected, but...
Don't get this on App Pray, do you? Anyway. there are a few times when celebrities die where it just kind of gets you. And like, this really got me. This upset me for the whole day. I think he's, for me, the most important man in F1. Personally, because he's always been there. He's been the absolute voice of F1 since I was a small child.
My nan died about 6 weeks ago.
Oh, sorry.
I got more upset by Murray Walker dying.
Oh, I mean, I'm also sorry about that, because that opens up a can of horrible worms. But
that's how she went.
Oh, I mean, 97 is a fine age, and if I can get to 97, I'll be pretty chuffed. But it just kind of seemed like he would be around forever. And Wes's point about there'll never be another one like... I mean, there won't be. Like, any, no matter how good a commentator there is in F1 in the future, you can't match Murray Walker. There's nothing
you
can do.
But he was old. The best thing about Murray Walker is he was always old.
That's true. He wasn't really old.
I watched one of the tribute videos that Formula One put out on YouTube, and... Because he had a whole career in advertising. Like, have I misremembered this? Or was he part of the team that invented the Beans Means Heinz slogan?
I think it was the Mars a Day Helps You Work, Rest and Play was his, wasn't it? He might have done Beans Means Heinz.
He probably did it all, you know.
All great slogans, yeah. Though.
It was when he retired from marketing that he started commentating. So it's just like, he was old when he started. And you don't do that in life these days. No one starts something when they're old anymore. So good on him.
Speaking of death, rest in peace also to Ayrton Senna's former teammate at Lotus, Johnny Dumfries, who died this week at the age of 62. Fun fact, that actually wasn't his real name. He was a proper British aristocrat whose real name was John Colum Crichton Stewart, the 7th Marquess of Bute. It's fair to say his F1 career wasn't anything particularly notable, but he scored 3 points during his only season in 1986 and went on to win Le Mans. So he clearly knew how to drive.
But he had the unfortunate position of coming into F1 as the teammate to Ayrton Senna, which is just a hiding to nothing, really, isn't it?
I'd like to see Valtteri Bottas lead the tributes.
I mean, there are parallels. But yeah, it's a weird old story. He is this like proper... member of the aristocracy, like not just you know quite a rich boy like a lot of them, but like a genuine sort of a marquess. But it was apparently really good. Like he was British Formula 3 champion and stomped everybody else in that, and then came into F1 and was, you know, was apparently all right. But when you're up against arguably, you know, the greatest F1 driver in history, not going to be that great. And he apparently let it get to his head and kept fucking up. And that was the end of that.
As we head into the second season of coronavirus-plagued racing, who had COVID over the break? Well, I will tell you. Frederick Vasseur, Alpha Boss, Lando Norris, Pierre Gasly, Charles Leclerc, and also Tarso Marquez, formerly of Minardi, who thought he was going to die, but then thankfully didn't. Lewis Hamilton, Sergio Perez, and Lance Stroll had it last season. Do you reckon people will take it a bit more seriously this season?
I tell you who will be taking it seriously. Nico Hülkenberg.
I know that the vaccines are on the NHS and blah, blah, blah. But if you're telling me that all the Formula 1 drivers haven't been fucking vaccinated on the slide,
it's another thing. Still, if they get it, I think they certainly won't be allowed to race. I think, vaccine or no vaccine. I think this season anyway, at least, you know, we'll have to give it a good year of once everyone's being vaccinated, see how it fucks people up or otherwise. Yeah, I think this year, anyone gets it, they're out. And yeah, Nico Hülkenberg.
I'm just saying. They've all had the vaccine, definitely.
I know, they will have, but if they get it, they're out. And let's face it, they're not as careful as maybe they could be, because a lot of them keep getting it. I think a quarter of the grid have had it now. And trust me, Nico Hülkenberg has got an entire wardrobe of the latest suits just lined up and a suitcase packed, and he's waiting to jump on a plane to... He'll drive for different teams in the same weekend if he needs to, I think. This is his big moment.
You know that scene in Back to the Future... I think 3, where he's got that briefcase full of monies from all the different eras of America.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah, very
That's
similar.
Nico Hülkenberg's
yeah, about. He has, but he's going to need to change it and actually get suits for the different Formula One teams rather than monies from different era of America.
Okay, so there was a report released for the investigation into Grosjean's Bahrain crash, and it turns out that he crashed and the car caught fire. What is going to be done as a result of this?
Grosjean's retired, so I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, that's pretty much sorted it. They've removed the primary source of the accident, which was Roman Grosjean, who's been sent off to IndyCar.
The FIA recommends that Roman Grosjean doesn't drive.
Were there any surprises from this report?
I mean, not really. It's more like they've sort of quantified exactly what happened, which was he crashed into the fence. The fence ripped the car in half. The bag tank containing the fuel split. Fuel went everywhere. We're going to look at all these little things to see if we can make them safer. Which is kind of like, well, yeah, okay. But they've, you know, they've done it in forensic detail and written it down. All of which is a good idea. It's one thing to have a big accident, but, you know, learn from it and let's try not to have it again. And in fairness to Grosjean, since the end of the season when we last recorded, I've seen a couple of updates from him on social media quite a long time after the accident where he showed his hands. I'm like, shit, they still really look really fucked up. Like, he properly messed his hands up.
Really?
And even weirder, he's driving for fucking IndyCar.
Yeah, which is safe. Although he's not doing ovals, which is probably the best decision he's made in his career. Because, I mean, he'd get three corners in and literally explode. But, you know, I wish him good luck. Seems like a nice guy. Just not a very good driver.
He isn't.
Tell us how wrong we are. You can tweet us at For F1's Sake or find us on Facebook where we're For F1's Sake or email us at wrong@ff1s.com. Alternatively, if you think we're right, well, you owe us a beer. Just in case you're new here, you may think that we give away this cutting edge analysis and insight for nothing. But no, by listening to this episode, you are now legally obliged to furnish us with alcohol, which is the fuel upon which our engines run. So thank you to those that have done so since the last episode. They are John Gillies.
Gillies, like a ghillie suit that snipers wear.
John Hamilton.
John Hamilton. Yeah, okay, Lewis. Thanks.
Yep.
Christopher Dean.
Dean, why does it sound like... Wasn't that the guy that played Superman?
No, we've done that joke
before.
That
was Christopher Reeve and Dean Kane.
That's what
have we done that
last
joke?
Time.
Oh, sorry, Christopher. Yep.
Matthew Bryant.
Bryant sounds like a... Do they make like central heating?
No, matches. Bryant and May, matches.
Mm. Is that a thing?
Bryant.
Thank you.
He's probably an heir to the Bryant and May fortune.
Oh, I hope he gave us quite a lot then. Thank you, Matthew.
Jeffrey Light.
Oh, here we go. You can answer the question.
Anthony Bishop.
Thank you, Anthony.
Jamie Rickett.
Sounds like cricket.
Thanks, Jamie.
And to our wonderful monthly donors, keeping us plied with beer morning, noon and night. Jenny and Ralph Brynard, Bryce Davies, Jason R. Bradley, Paul Hinton, Christopher Lee, Paul Hewings, Kevin Rhodes, Donald Griffin, Charlie Fraser, Ian Cox, William Miner, and Keith Falconer. And you can join them all by going to ff1s.com/pint.
Fine people, all of them.
So for 2021, the amount of pre-season testing was cut down to about 25 minutes, and instead of the teams sending parts to and from Barcelona, everyone had to go out to Bahrain instead. But does it really matter? Surely Mercedes would turn up and be way faster than everyone, and that would be that, right? Because after all, the cars are basically the same. Or are they? Phil, has anything changed for this year?
Yes.
What, please?
The floors are a bit different. There's some other stuff which I was going to look up to have a proper explanation here, but I've been very busy and I haven't done it. But basically, the floors are a bit different. There's either more or less downforce. There's less downforce because
less
of the
barge
floor.
Boards.
There's fewer barge boards now.
Less barge boards.
There's fewer barge boards now.
Little slats.
Fewer slats.
Fewer little slats.
Yeah, fewer slats on the barge boards and on the floors. Yeah.
Okay, and Terry, what difference is this going to make?
It's going to definitely make less of a difference than we'd expect, or more of a difference, a greater than difference.
Fewer differences.
Fewer differences than one would be. Well, it's going to fuck some shit up.
Yeah, or is it? Well, yes, according to testing.
Okay. So, well, let's have a quick skim through then how the teams got on. And we're going to also talk about their new looks and new drivers. Maybe there'll be some more listener comments because we need you to provide a bulk of our content. So we'll start with Mercedes. After 3 days of testing, both drivers were unhappy with their rear ends. Yeah. It's very early in the season to start stirring up conspiracy theories, but here we go. I think they are attempting to lure the rest of the grid into a full sense of security by pretending to be shit because A, they kept saying how they just couldn't work out why it was misbehaving, which sounds stupid, and B, they have a sir driving for them now. You do not give a sir a shit car for a race.
Sir Valtteri Bottas.
That's right. Can't believe it. Sir George Russell. They weren't great, were they? They were a little bit, little bit spinny.
But
I mean,
they?
They've definitely fucked some of their own shit up. But
yeah,
I still can't believe that they're not going to get to Bahrain next week and be a second ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Blast everybody to pieces. But yeah, it's in previous years they've turned up, got the car out, and just done 1,500 laps. Flawlessly, miles faster than everyone else. And this year, they've not got anywhere near quite a lot of other people and had some issues. They missed basically the whole first day. Hamilton spun it. Other cars with Mercedes gearboxes had issues as well.
True. This was supposed to be the season that was part B of last year. And from testing alone, and Mercedes and Red Bull, it does look like
might be closer. But we say that every year, and then it isn't.
So Tristan Clayton asks, which version of Bottas are we up to now? Legacy, patched, or just spare parts?
Has he been bigging it up this year? I think he maybe has.
It's his last year in the team. George Russell's going to take over from him.
Nobody's sold on him doing anything to get even close to Hamilton. Although, having said that, just before I came on the mic, I saw the first 5 minutes of the third episode of Drive to Survive, Bottas gets his bot ass out. Like, properly gets his bum out. Couldn't believe it. Maybe that's what he's going for now. He's going for glamour. He's like, well, I'm not going to be as quick, but I can be the sexy one.
Valtteri bot ass.
Exactly.
Red Bull. Verstappen and his new sidekick Perez owned pre-season practice 2021. They did loads of consistently fast laps. Question I want to know your thoughts on. Did Perez look better when he was in pink?
No.
Actually, yes. I think it brings out his eyes.
I would say no. I think the Red Bull look is a very good look, and I like it.
And a lot less importantly, is Verstappen going to win the championship?
I think that the Red Bull is going to be the faster car this year, at least at the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think Verstappen will win a chunk of the first few races. I think Mercedes will then dig in and get their car to be better. And if all goes to plan, which is my plan, there will be a humdinger of a showdown between Verstappen and Hamilton, and that is when Verstappen will crack because he's not had that. He's not been used to the kind of competition of a championship. You know, normally he can just like go for a win, doesn't matter because he's nowhere in the championship. Whereas Lewis Hamilton is a hard campaigner of knowing how to win a fucking championship. So I think it's going to be close, but Verstappen is going to crack.
I would love to see that, in fairness. If we can have a proper humdinger of a season between Verstappen and Hamilton, I will be absolutely overjoyed. Because we've never really had that. We've had a few little tussles for like a couple of laps, but they've never really been closely matched enough in terms of machinery. But I think Verstappen will maybe win like four races and Hamilton will probably win most of the rest of them. I don't think, based on nothing but a gut feeling, I think Mercedes are going to be pretty strong and Red Bull won't be close enough.
I'd say, haven't for the past few seasons, though, Red Bull started off looking like really promising, but then...
Well, they've always they've always fucked it up at the start and then got really good too late. Like, they're always good at the end of the season, but it's like, well, Mercedes, are, like, by August, they'd won. And, like, the end of July, Red Bull are like, right, we figured it out. And it's like, it was too late.
I think what's really interesting to me is Bottas versus Perez. Because the second Red Bull driver the last 2 years has been, you know, seventh or eighth. But if actually suddenly the second Red Bull driver is giving Bottas a headache, you know, I think there's an interesting dynamic of the A driver and the B driver in both teams this year seem to be pretty well matched.
So while Mummy and Daddy are fighting up the front, how are the kids getting on against each other?
Ferrari! Now, Ferrari didn't have to do much to improve after the shit show that was their 2020 season. And to show new year, new me, they have brought on two new colours onto their livery. In practice, they did some good fast laps, but there were also technical issues. What do you think the relationship between Leclerc and Sainz is outside of the workplace?
Fine, probably.
So, I've seen more of Drive to Survive than you have. I think Leclerc's a grade A.
Ooh, well, you thought that before, didn't you?
Yeah, but now I know.
Okay.
And Sainz seems like quite a nice fella, but I think he's going to be swallowed up and spat out by Ferrari.
What, even with Sainz's brother or cousin or whoever he is batting his corner?
I think it's going to get so bad that by the end of this year, Sainz's cousin's going to be Leclerc's manager.
See, I think that Ferrari are going to be quite a lot better this year. Maybe not at the start of the year. But I think now they've got all their horsepower back after they possibly cheated and possibly had less fuel available to them, judging by the rumours, that they, if the car is not terrible, they'll be faster and could be up there. But I can't see Sainz getting anywhere near Leclerc, if I'm honest. I think he's going to be firmly number two.
And also, the green on the red is fucking hideous.
What's that
about?
That
is like...
Well, I quite liked it, actually.
What are they trying to say with that? Because if Mission Winnow was... basically about getting people to smoke, even though it's not. Mission Winnow, you know, it's a philosophy. It's a reason for being, or whatever bollocks they were coming out with. It was about getting you to smoke. Now they've gone green. I think it's about getting you to smoke weed.
Oh, interesting.
That's my take on it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Smoke. I'd smoke some Ferrari weed.
It'd be really expensive and wouldn't be that good.
Aston Martin. So this... in my opinion, is the coolest looking car on the track. But that is not the brand FF1S opinion.
No.
I must add.
That's the Chica Air's opinion.
It did have, exactly. It did have quite a lot go wrong with it, though. But there was a few good pace laps in. The team said that they were very positive. Do you think that Vettel is happy? And I don't just mean with the car, I mean in general.
I think he's a lot happier now than he was at Ferrari. He can. I think he can be himself now. He's in a British team. He likes the British. He's finally embraced the fact that he was losing his hair and he's shaved it off. It's like, great.
This is a surprise to me. I didn't know he was losing his hair.
No,
was he hiding it really well?
You could sort of tell it was just receding and receding and receding. It was a bit tufty. But the trouble is he's sort of embraced it and he's buzzed it, but he's not buzzed it properly. So he's now got a proper sort of middle-aged man kind of...
Because like, I thought that was a Photoshop.
I don't think it is.
A joke thing.
No.
I didn't realise he's actually got that
There's
hair.
No, it was going.
I mean, you know, I don't want to take the piss out of him for how he looks because he can't help going bald. but it was maybe an ill-advised haircut. But I think it shows the fact that he's confident in himself now. I don't think he was getting on very well with Ferrari. I don't think he liked it there, especially not in the last season.
Oh, Ferrari, Italians hate ball people.
that's true. Enzo Ferrari, full head of hair, went to the barber every morning. Fact. He had his own barber that did his hair every morning, which I suppose when you're so rich. Yeah. Did you see the launch event?
No.
Oh, God. It was painful. They clearly cost a fortune because they had... Who did they have? They had Gemma Arterton present it, and then they had Tom Brady, the American footballer player, who apparently is quite a big deal. What? He was there for no... I have no idea. He just said, "Hi, guys, what a great job you're doing." I was like, you don't have a clue what's going on here. They just gave you $100K to do this. And then they had Daniel Craig, because, you know, James Bond... Aston Martin, James Bond, blah, 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 going, "Oh, this is going to be good."
Near him too. I've stood near Murray Walker.
Well, you were bloody in James Bond film.
Well, I know. Yeah.
For new listeners, I'd like to shout about it. It was great. It's one of the coolest things about me is that I know someone who was in Skyfall. If any of you have
Daniel
got...
Craig?
We've got the Daniel Craig of Formula One. But then they also had Lawrence Stroll reading from an auto cue, and he's clearly a very good businessman. He's not good at reading an auto cue. It was like painfully bad. And then clearly somebody in the gallery wasn't telling Gemma Arterton what to do, and at one point she just said in this live stream, "Who am I talking to, please?" Which was brilliant. It was very expensive and completely shambolic, and I'm hoping that that their season will be very similar.
Well, it is weird because they've got the pink Mercedes that's now the green pink Mercedes, but they didn't do that well last year, and yeah.
They didn't do as well as everyone thought they would, did they?
My fear with them is they're going to have too much money. I've said this before, they're a team that thrives on being skint and making things work, and now they've just been given this blank check. I think they're going to be like,
I think all their creative.
Yeah, the car's shit, but look at the motorhome.
Yeah, necessity forces creativity, and now they don't need to do it, and they're going to be rubbish. Well, Stroll's job is safe, at least.
Alpine did well, despite the fact they had one driver with a recently broken jaw and are attempting to hold together relations in an Anglo-French team. The word blood clots and Brexit are vetoed in Alpine HQ. But let's talk about their big box.
Hey.
They've got an air box that I swear they are using it to smuggle like condiments out of the country to get around Brexit. They've gone, right, we need some fucking mustard for our French cheese, so shove it in the airbox and get it through customs.
Is that a thing? We need some mustard for our French cheese?
I don't know what the French would want from Britain.
Seems like another T-shirt.
Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe on the way back, they're putting some camembert in the airbox.
It does look curious.
We can have camembert.
What's the cheese situation in England? That's what I want to know. Are you struggling to get cheese?
I ordered mature Cathedral City from Sainsbury's last week, and they could only deliver extra mature.
I found some Scottish cheddar in my local supermarket in Berlin, so I'm quite happy.
Look at this.
Oh, I'm not vegan anymore. Was I vegan last time we spoke?
you definitely were, yes.
You're an extremely smug vegan.
You would not shut up about it. Has that gone out the window?
Basically, I was pissed off and I saw some eggs and I went, "I want a fucking omelette." So I got some eggs and I bought some cheese. End of.
Wow, okay. You are sitting there with a whole turkey leg wrapped in bacon. The full Swanson.
That was the giveaway. Do we think this big box is gonna work?
They always say that a fast car is a good looking car or something. So
yeah, but they can be body work confident.
Well, yes. Another T-shirt. These ideas. Write these down. These are brilliant.
It's an irony that the last time Alonso was in Formula One, it was with a size zero car, and now he's come back to Formula One with a
plus size car. It is an odd looking machine, but the livery's nice. I like the blue. Ooh. Did you see the livery under the lights? I think it looks really nice.
Fuck this. Everyone is saying that livery is nice. It's fucking boring. It's shit. Yeah, but it's nice. The yellow and black Renault livery was great. What I loved about the last few years is when the race started, all the cars had one primary colour. So you'd have your silver or black Mercedes, you'd have your red Ferraris, you'd have your orange McLarens, your yellow Renaults, your pink Force Indias, whatever they were, racing points. And so the cars are really obvious. And now we've got like three teams that have just got blue, bluish, some white.
That's a valid argument. Shit. Yeah. No, that's fair enough. The AlphaTauri looks like a 2012 Williams. But I think not necessarily the livery, in fairness to you, of the Alpine, but the colour that they've chosen for the blue is a really nice blue. It's like a deep metallic royal blue. It's nice. Will it be fast? I don't know. Didn't seem that great in testing, but midfield again, I guess. They got Kvyat as a reserve driver. That's something.
Kevin Barry asks, how long will it be before the first Alonso meltdown, especially when he'll be following the McLaren around the track?
I think Alonso's Alpine career is going to be a lot like my veganism.
Well, it's going to make a big noise about it.
Yeah, four or five races being great, and then he will just buy some fucking eggs and smash them everywhere.
He's just driving slowly, just lobbing eggs out as he goes.
Do you think that's what his broken jaw's about? Because a broken jaw is racist. Do you think him and Cyril Abiteboul had a fight?
No, he fell off. He got hit by a car on his bike or something, didn't he?
Yeah, they say that. They say that. I reckon.
I don't know who was driving. Maybe Cyril Abiteboul.
If you watch, look, we're talking about the old Netflix series. But if there's one thing about we know about Cyril Abiteboul from last year's Netflix thing, is that he is an emotional guy who does not let go. And yeah. I think him and Alonso. I reckon Alonso said something mean about Daniel Ricciardo, and Abiteboul went, "Don't you talk about Ricciardo like that." And then they had a big fight, and then Abiteboul got fired from Renault, and now Alonso's the king.
There must be
He'll make Nelson Piquet crash or something.
There must be a lot of people with grudges against Alonso at Renault, because this is what, the third time he's been there. Alpine now.
Alonso breaking his jaw pre-season is the most Alonso thing I can think of. Like, this is his big comeback. Oh, I've broken my jaw.
Aww.
But do you reckon he's going to use it as an excuse? Like when he's driving, he goes like, "Yeah, it was one of the best laps I've ever done because you know my jaw was really hurting and the car's not very good.
Yeah,
we've got a GP2 engine." And I think five races. If he don't do well within five races, he'll start bitching.
Yeah.
McLaren. McLaren had one lovely Mercedes engine and two strapping drivers. Is this the holy trinity for McLaren? Could they be regular podium dwellers?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, they are the number three team. Every time Mercedes and or Red Bull fuck up, McLaren will be there.
Okay.
I think Ferrari going to be there as well. And I think Aston Martin will get better and be there by mid-season. No.
Vernon Moon wants to know, which driver is most likely to challenge Lewis this year? I think Ricardo, Max and Sergio will be busy infighting, leaving Ricardo to scoop up more points on average.
You've contradicted your own question, saying that Ricardo's going to scoop up points when they're fighting. Scooping up points isn't challenging Lewis. Challenging Lewis is beating Lewis. Scooping up points sounds like you're there walking behind Lewis, kind of just taking, going, "Oh, excuse me, well, you've dropped a bit of your sandwich. Can I have it?" "Oh, it's vegan. I want some eggs."
I mean, Verstappen is the obvious choice to challenge Lewis. I don't think Max and Sergio will be busy in fighting at all. I think Max is going to absolutely destroy Sergio. Maybe not quite to the same level as he destroyed every other teammate, but I still think he'll be pretty comprehensively quicker than him. So, yeah, I think it'll be Verstappen if the car's halfway decent. More than Bottas.
AlphaTauri. The Alphas drove a lot of laps. 422, in fact, the exact same numbers as the other Alphas. But let's not get confused too early on. At the end of testing, Tsunoda was not far behind Verstappen's fastest lap. How much of that was to do with him being an exciting driver to watch this season? And how much was him getting friendly with his DRS button?
So this is Yuki Tsunoda, who, according to my research, is the shortest F1 driver in history.
How tall is he?
5'2".
He's
very
little.
He's a very little
man. Can you say that in centimetres?
I'd hazard a guess at 150 centimetres, maybe? Don't know.
I think I've got a ruler that's bigger than that.
He's a very pint-sized man, but small is fast. It's like jockeys. I mean, you can't really tell from testing. He may well have had no fuel and illegal tyres and, you know, DRS open all the way and I don't know. Or it could just be because he's, you know, because he weighs 35 kilos that actually he's super quick. Don't know.
Apparently Helmut Marko loves him.
Yeah, but Helmut Marko says that Helmut Marko loves all his drivers until three races in when they don't win him a championship and then he wants them killed. or, you know, or he promotes them to Red Bull so they can then demote them and break them. And then they go to Formula E, where they do really well.
Alfa Romeo. I think these Alphas hinted at being best of the worst in 2021. The team stressed that they were very happy with testing, but nothing much happened. Do you think that Raikkonen has aged over the winter?
Yeah, by about 4 months.
I think he is actually looking a bit old, actually.
Well, he is. He's older than me, I think. Is he older than you, Terry?
No, I think he's...
He's in between us, I think.
Yeah.
But he is old. For new listeners, I think it was our first ever episode in 2015 that we made jokes about how Raikkonen was going to stay in F1 forever. And now, 6 years later, he's still here. I don't know why. I don't think he cares.
I've learnt something in German. Do you know what the word Sauber means?
It means clean.
Yes, I didn't know that. Sauber is the German word for clean.
Yeah.
There's a laundrette near my flat called Schnell und Sauber.
Fast Saubers. Brilliant. Well, that's it's not really accurate, is it?
Something we've never seen before.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that was my...
Sauber und Schmutzig. It's dirty. Which is a good word.
Dirty, yes.
Yeah,
I don't care about Alfa.
I think that sums it up.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They won't be Williams or Haas at the back, but they won't really be bothering any of the midfield. I think it'll be the same as last season, where if everyone else has issues and it's a bit of a funny day, a funny track, maybe they'll get a point.
Okay. I'm looking at these words on the Google Doc that we're reading from, and it looks like we've just left something in from last year, which is exactly how I feel about Alfa Romeo.
Yes, exactly.
It looks like somebody forgot to edit the team.
Yeah, I'm not even convinced they've got a new car for this year.
Talking of which...
Warning, this section of the podcast may contain content that some listeners find offensive and distressing. Haas. Nothing really went wrong for them, which makes it even worse. They had no excuse other than their car is crap. Why is Haas not developing their car?
Because Gene Haas is a tight...
Why has Schumacher joined that team?
Because Ferrari. They want to put him in a team that, for some reason... I don't know why they didn't put him in Alpha, but yeah, they've put him there.
I've got an exciting thing about Mick Schumacher. So... All right, this is a tangent. I don't care. So you know that all Formula One drivers speak English on the coverage, and every now and again you get that little glimpse that they're not actually, you know that Sebastian Vettel's German, but you never hear him speak German, for example. And then every now and again there's a little bit where they don't cut from the interview and they go, and in your own language, and you see him speaking German, and it's actually quite disconcerting. Do you get that feeling? Do you ever have that?
So I know what you mean. Yeah. Just me. Yeah. I heard Bottas speaking Finnish, and I was like, "What?"
Really cool when you hear them speaking their own language. You're like, "Oh, they're so smart."
All of my YouTube adverts and everything since I've been here have been dominated by Sky F1 in Germany, which is another thing to talk about because I thought I was going to move here and get F1 TV, but Sky Germany have signed a new deal, which means that Germany doesn't get F1 TV again for like 4 fucking years or something. Great. But I'm being bombarded with adverts, and I've realised I've only heard Mick Schumacher speak in German. I haven't seen him speak English yet in anything. And it's quite bewildering because when does that ever happen with a Formula One driver? So to me, Mick Schumacher is the most German driver ever.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if that is indeed the case. And he basically just falls into tired, cheap stereotypes that will be great for our podcast, let's be honest.
Hey, I have no stereotypes about Germany. Because since I've got here, I've realised that they're not very efficient. The bureaucracy is shit. The trains aren't on time.
But that's Berlin. I've been around Germany a fair amount, although I have never lived there, and Berlin is not really representative of the rest of Germany. Anyway, going back to Haas, there's no point in them this year. They're not trying. They've got their hopes apparently pinned on 2022, which is just like... Which presumably... I mean, that's what Gene Haas says, but presumably what he means is I hope to have sold the team to Nikita Mazepin's dad by 2022.
Mm-hmm.
But this 2022 thing, what I love about it is every fucking team is going, oh, in 2022 we'll be the best. And it's like, even if every team makes the best car, there's still going to be an order and one team is going to be 10th. It's just like, no matter how good they do, one team is going to end up 10th. That's how a ranking system works.
Joint firsts. 2021 is just...
Everyone gets a prize.
Okay.
So what you're saying is that all the teams do as well as they can, but at the end, they're ranked in the order that they finish in.
That they finish the races.
Yeah, that's the kind of insight you're going to get on this podcast.
I don't want to ruin any of my state of F1s, but I think that's going to be my new system.
Right, to your points, Chica, sorry. They're not developing the car because they're focusing on 2022. Schumacher's joined the team. I don't actually know, but I can only assume that Alpha didn't want him. I don't know. Why has he gone to Haas? That doesn't make any fucking sense. And in any point, why? I feel really bad for Mick Schumacher, actually, because he's, you know, he seems like a decent driver. He's obviously got an interesting story with his dad's heritage. But the thing that everybody, at least on social media, is talking about Haas is the Mazepin thing. And he's just sort of sitting there going, I'm driving a Russian flag and I've got a sexual abuser as a teammate. Because that... Do you want to talk about the livery?
Yeah, the red, white and blue. Purely American livery.
That's what
absolutely the most American thing I've ever seen.
Did you see Peter Windsor's tweet? Peter Windsor, of course, formerly of USF1 and an F1 commentator. He basically, when they released their car, which, if you haven't seen it's basically just a giant Russian flag. I mean, there's no hiding it. That's what it is. Yes, it does have red, white and blue, but that's the colours of the Russian flag. And the front wing is literally a Russian flag. And Peter Windsor says, it's great to see the red, white and blue, as if it was like some big American statement. It's like, it's a Russian flag. You might as well just wave a Russian flag and you'd be, the stars and stripes forever. It's like, no, there's no stars on there. There's just stripes. There's three stripes.
And there are no stars.
Yeah, and they're now literally named after the oil company or whatever it is. It's a gas company, oil company, whatever it is that Mazepin's dad owns. Urine infection, whatever it's called. And it's driven by Mazepin, who was... we all know he's a piece of shit. So, you know, I don't want to sit on the fence here. I'm pretty neutral when it comes to F1 racing. I don't have a particular driver or a team, but anyone but Haas, I think. Sorry, Mick.
Williams, they have repainted and have said they might not be great, but hopefully they'll be better than Haas.
Morally, at least.
is that what they said, genuinely?
Yes, and amazing. That is a team ready to take 2021 by the horns.
Hashtag goals.
Their statement might as well say, we're not run by a guy in a wheelchair anymore.
None of our drivers have sexually abused anyone on camera.
Can the sharp mind and strong neck of Russell be any help when you drive a Williams, though?
Oh, they'll be a bit better, but still not.
Well, will they? Because have you read up on their aero philosophy for this year?
Oh, they've gone for Peaky Blinders.
They've gone for Peaky Blinders, yeah. They're all going to be wearing flat caps and speaking with Birmingham accents. What they're going to do is they're going to design a car that works very, very well in very particular wind conditions, i.e. when there's none, which strikes me as great if you're at the front, but utterly shit if you're probably towards the back in the dirty air of all the other cars. They reckon it's going to be super quick as long as there is no interference from anything else in the atmosphere. I was like, okay, so you might be all right in qualifying, but then you'll probably be fucked in the race.
How have they tested this? Because surely they've got a wind tunnel. They're like, well, in the wind tunnel, it's shit. That's because there's wind. Well, when you turn the fan off, this is really quick.
Presumably in the wind tunnel, it's really good because there's nothing disturbing the flow of air to the wing. You know, it all slides onto the front wing and is massaged around the bodywork and comes out the back and it's beautiful. It slips through it like a porpoise through lube. But in an actual race...
Sorry. What
a simile.
A porpoise through lube.
I don't know. I just wasn't. I've had a
bit. So what you're implying here, like a,
it's slippery. Is what I'm saying. It's pretty slippery in the wind tunnel.
What's the lube? I mean, have you covered a porpoise in lube, or is the porpoise swimming?
No, it's swimming through lube. It's taking a big breath because they can hold their breath for a long time.
I don't think it would survive. I don't think it would be. It would be dolphin doesn't survive. Dolphin dies.
I mean, this feels like it should be a chain bear video, but I don't know the science. You know, there are people that can explain the science better than me. But the point is.
Hello, here's some ropey graphics. What? Sorry.
His stuff's really good. That'd be horrible to chain bear. He's a lovely, lovely guy. Not like Missed Apex. No, we like them too.
Oh, shit, they texted me and said, should we do a kind of advert for them? And I said, yeah, I'll get back to the others. And I haven't replied to him. So Sorry.
Is this it?
Listen to Mr. Apex if you want.
If you want actual insight and knowledge. Yeah. And
are you waiting to get vaccinated? Are you waiting to get vaccinated? Yeah. Do you want to take your mind off things?
If you want regular podcasts that don't take a 4-month break over the winter, Mr. Apex. If you want a presenter named after a brass instrument, Mr. Apex.
Oh, Johnny Saxophone.
That's right.
He was the fifth Marquis of Essex.
Anyway, Williams. Yeah, their car, I can't. If what they're saying is true, it seems like a stupid idea. That they've designed their car to work in perfect conditions that don't exist.
They've gone for one of the default liveries of the Formula One game, which says everything.
Oh, God. It does. It looks well. They've said it, and they said that it sort of harks back to the FW14B with the yellow and the Canon sponsorship.
Oh, I like that. I like their livery.
It looks like a bus seat upholstery.
I see that, maybe I've got a thing for stagecoach.
I don't think they're going to be very good. They might be, you know, less off the back than they were before. But from what they've said, I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound like a good idea. But having said that, I'm not a mechanical or aerodynamic engineer, so what do I know? We did have a listener.
Moquette.
Oh, beg your pardon?
That's the word. Moquette. That's the word for the patterns on buses and things.
Sure. Yeah. If they spent more time thinking about their aero philosophy and less time about the moquette, maybe wouldn't be moquetting them so much. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Nice.
Nah, it's not that great. Anyway, I think they'll still be quicker than Haas, though, because Haas just seem like they can't be arsed.
And now it's time for the State of F1 with Terry Saunders.
Well, everyone, it's time for one of my State of F1 colon reviews, because I'm going to talk about Drive to Survive. So, Drive to Survive is back, and for the third... that's made myself laugh. That's a good start. Drive to Survive is back, and for the third year running, it's set to fuck some shit up, trademark, and make the normally dull world of F1 look sexy and interesting. Except this year, it didn't. 2020 was a profoundly weird year, and the F1 season was actually pretty great, with some weird races and some unexpected results. But Drive to Survive seemed to miss most of it. I don't know if they just weren't at most of the races, but most of the series seems to be taking place at the Austrian Grand Prix, and they really fucking milked that shot of an upside-down helicopter billowing colourful smoke. At one point, I thought it was like a new concept. One Grand Prix over the season told each episode from a different viewpoint. But then it became apparent they're really stretching this shit out. Or maybe they'd left the lens cap on for all the other races in the middle of the season and then just had to make something up. So we don't get anything aside from a passing mention about the epic George Russell race, barely word about the Williams setting up, and not a peep about the debate on drivers taking a knee, aside from a little epilogue from Lewis Hamilton about how he wants to do more at the end. Instead, we get lots of footage of Bottas smirking at the camera like he's David Brent because he's contrived to come third in qualifying. That's what she said. We get hours of Cyril Abiteboul whining about Ricardo dumping him and how it hurts, now we can't look at him without crying. We get lots of footage of Lawrence Stroll being, quite frankly, fucking terrified. And suddenly, I think this year I'm going to be much nicer about Lance Stroll because, A, I can see what his childhood must have been like. Yeah, yeah, you got me for half an hour. Show me your painting. I need to be on the plane in 45. Wheels up, Lance! And B, he could easily have me killed, or just kill me with those powerful eyes. And finally, so many drivers saying, let's fuck shit up. It's the new for sure. I don't know what Lance Stroll thinks he's going to fuck up by qualifying 7th and finishing 5th, but it's definitely not shit. Drive to Survive? Drivel to Survive, more like.
Wow. Oh, that's disappointing. I'm only 2.5 episodes.
It was shit. Oh, I was really? So bored.
Oh, that's I'll still probably finish the season, but I don't want that. Is it going to be like Top Gear? I used to really like Top Gear, and then I just kind of, I can't be bothered with it. It's just getting silly.
I really enjoyed
episode one.
Episode one was really good.
There was no racing in episode one at all.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It was really good, especially because it feels like 20 years ago that we're going, oh, is this COVID going to be a thing? You know, and actually the fact that just exactly this time last year, they're all at the Grand Prix waiting for it to start. Mm-hmm. And then they go on Thursday, oh, it's not going to happen because this fucking virus, McLaren's got it. So that was good. you know, there were good bits in it, but it just, I don't know, after like the third or fourth episode, it just feels like you're watching the same thing again and again, and they just keep showing bits of the same race.
That's disappointing, because like, I actually thought, I mean, we talked about this last season, but my abiding memory of the 2020 season is that actually it was pretty good, despite everything. Maybe it's just because we had such low expectation when everything went to shit, but I remember it being, there were lots of exciting things happening. And yeah, I'll try and watch the rest of the series over the next couple of weeks and see if I agree with you.
I mean, it's as ever, it's worthwhile. Every episode's got something good in it, but it's just like the previous series has made F1 look really exciting. And you can always imagine showing someone who doesn't like F1 the series, and they'll be like, wow, it looks amazing.
Well, that's a lot of new people have come into it with that.
Yeah. And this series just feels like, I mean, if anything, it's a more accurate portrayal of Formula One in that some episodes you just have on in the background. Like one episode I just kind of totally zoned out of, and I was like on my phone or something, and I was just like, hang on, this is just like a Grand Prix.
Oh, that's a shame. I don't want to do your line, Chica, but I'd be intrigued to hear from more of the fans of the show about whether they agree.
My overriding thing from it is that Lawrence Stroll is honestly scares me.
The one episode I saw, he is a little bit terrifying, isn't he? Even Ottmar Schaffner was like,
talking about the green paint scheme with the car, there's a bit where like the designer shows him the colour.
Mm.
And as it happens, he quite likes it. But the designer looks like he's about to shit himself. Like, and this is the car we've gone for green. It's just like, oh.
That is it from us. It is goodbye to Phil Tromans.
We haven't had time to talk about our FF1S dog, and I want to change that. I know this is a departure from the normal format, but Terry, what's going on with, what do we call him, Charlie Shiting?
Charlie Shiting, our Dogs Trust dog that I spent a fortune on my credit card last year, which then forgot about and nearly got a hefty fine for. Because I get drunk, I give 120 quid to charity or whatever it was. But I don't want to talk about it. I don't like people to know the amount of charity I give.
How's the dog, Terry? But,
oh, I think he's alive.
Okay, good. What a good boy.
He sent us a Valentine's card, which I think was a bit inappropriate.
And to Terry Saunders.
We haven't had time to talk about this. I've got such a great get out for this bit now. So for new listeners, I never have written something for this. I'm usually drunk by this point. But we have a newsletter, and I can just mention this every fucking week, which is what I'm going to do for the whole season. So we've got a newsletter. So if you want to join our newsletter, after every race, we'll send out a thing. It'll be the news in a letter form.
Yeah.
Go to ff1s.com/something.
We shouldn't probably promise too much, but it will definitely be a thing.
We'll be back next week to discuss the Australian Bahrain Grand Prix. In the meantime, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/forf1sake, and follow us on Twitter @forf1sake. Terry, where can people buy our completely refreshed merch?
Oh God, I haven't done anything about that, but you can still buy Gunther Steiner is our spirit animal t-shirt, which is from series one of the Netflix show. And in this year's Netflix thing, he doesn't come across at all well, I don't think.
Oh, does he not? Was there no more classic Steiner moment?
He doesn't come across badly. He's just not really in it much.
What?
So it's just, yeah. Although there's a lovely moment when he wants to thank the marshals for saving Grosjean's life.
That is nice. And where can people buy these now completely out of date and pointless t-shirts?
Oh, yeah. ff1s.com/shop.
Thanks for listening. See you next week. I've been Chica Reyes. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.